I am. I'm ready to hear. Along with the announcements that have been made, we need to remember we need to be believing for our own building without a huge debt. We need to be believing for those that want to continue and improve our praise and worship.
Yes.
It's been improving, but there will be some leaving, and we need some replaced.
Yes.
We need to believe for that. Amen? So let's don't take that as a minor thing. Let's put it up there and listen for God.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, you heard your people say they want to hear from you today. And we're not here to listen to each other. We're here to listen to you. We want you to touch us in a fresh way by your fresh presence this morning. We don't care if the message gets out. We don't care if the end comes. We don't care about any of that. What we care about is your presence here this morning with signs and wonders following. We love you, Lord. We hunger and thirst after you. We hunger and thirst after you. We want to hear your voice. We want to know what you're thinking this morning, what you're seeing and what you're feeling. Bless us this morning with your presence, not for us, but for your kingdom. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Terry had a little testimony this morning about being blessed by the people of God. I'm thankful for that. Anybody else got a testimony this morning? And don't tell me about your cat having a litter or anything like that. I'm talking about something that'll give glory to God, okay?
Yeah, I have a friend, Mike Coughlin, who's in the yard, and he drives a truck to the post office week and works security staff. Well, now he's in a very warm place with lots of sand around him. Yeah, he's driving a truck. I'm sure you've seen those horrible photographs.
Amen. Amen. We do need to remember that we, part of our pledge is one nation under God. And our leader, the commander-in-chief, says, God bless America every time he speaks. We need just to believe that the destruction begins to cease over there. And that God does have his way in a place that I know he wants his way. Now, why do I say that? What in history tells us that God wants to rule and reign in Iraq?
The area of Babylon.
Oh, yeah. Babylon's not supposed to be rebuilt.
Come on. A little Bible history tells you that God has great interest in that region. Great interest. And he fully intends to regain control over there, especially when the United States says we're going to do it for you.
Amen?
Amen? We're not doing it to take territory. We're doing it to give. We need to believe that we see, not in a generation, but very quickly, the same way we as an army overtook this enemy, that by the Spirit the enemy's overtaken again. Amen?
Amen?
That everything they touch will turn to their destruction. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that I would like for you to remember, unfortunately, sometimes we have to listen to radio or television to get news, but let us remember that God is on our side. We're doing the right thing. God is with and for our president. And it is a sin not to be for God and what he's doing. That's to anybody that decides they want to get up and speak against our president. It's a sin. It's a sin. I'm going to stop being calm. I'm not even going to be political. I'm just going to tell you point blank. If you stand against a leader that God has chosen to do a specific work, and I don't care what his title is, it's a sin to go against that leader. And if you're a Democrat, well, repent. Repent. Now let this be on the tape. And if you're a Republican that wonders about our president, you repent. You repent. You need to learn the scripture that God's got him in his hand. If he wants him out, he can put him out, but he doesn't need our help.
That's right.
It's not up to a vote anyway. You understand that? When you say one nation under God, we have just declared this not to be a democracy, but a theocracy. And that means he can do whatever he wants, even if the vote doesn't look right. As we saw in the last election. Come on. See, you're going on tape too. You need to hear it. They need to hear it. By the way, I will encourage you again that we've got a good tape series, the last three or four messages, and you need to get those to people. There's some answers in there people are looking for. I'm going to say it again. There's answers in there people are looking for. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to not veer from, but I want to add to today our direction again. How many of you have ever wondered, especially about how we've been studying, about the mind of Christ? Well, let me read the scripture. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call, when you know this for a fact, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Now, isn't that a great statement? It's exciting, isn't it? Okay. With that in mind, how about if we touch a few specifics? This is such a huge, for those of you who don't know how to use that word, H-U-G-E, huge, sounds better when you do it that way. It's such a huge thought process that it covers our entire life and everything we do with it. Amen. Because it literally takes us out of the picture and puts God in there in its place. I had a little picture when I was standing over here a while ago about all the songs seem to be pointing towards He is all we need. Even to the song when we didn't use the words, I need you, oh, I need you. But I got to thinking that I didn't get to thinking. Somebody made me think. I had somebody approach me this week and say, how do I pray about this situation? Now, I know that he's the only one in here that ever had that question. I've heard that. You know how long I've heard that? Forever. How do I pray about this? How do I pray about this? Can I give you a little secret? If we would stop asking each other and ask the Lord, He would tell us. He would tell us. Because He says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. I want you to have them. Never once promised to keep a secret from us. I want to tell you that the title of this message is How Do I Pray About This? Are My Way or God's Way? The reason that God is not often seen in lives is that those that pray do not often seek God about how to pray. They just begin to shoot off their mouth and they never stop and say, God, how do I pray about this? So it's a very good thing to wonder about how to pray. Most of us just begin to pray what we want to see done. Come on. What we want to see done. We never once ask God what He wants to see done. Somebody says, well, I'll give you an example. You've heard me say this before. I'll give you a tough one, but it also deals with little things. I had some friends that picked me up and said, let's go pray for this lady. They say she's dying. And so, well, sure, let's go. I know. Do you understand that I know that God wants everybody healed? Do you understand that God wants everybody healed? Amen. See, if we don't lock onto some basics, we'll never know how to pray about anything. Basics. Things that we know God wants. Basics. Amen. That's not food. That's not water. That's not a roof over our head. Basics are what God wants. Amen. All right. When we walked in, I looked at the lady. I walked over and she was laying on her couch. And I looked and I knew that she was dead. Don't know how else to tell you that. By the Spirit, I knew that she was dead. She would not be with us very long. Her heart was still beating. But when God has decided that it's time for us to go, we're gone. Doesn't make any difference if it's that second or not, but we're out of here. But you know what I did? I ministered there in that room and to those men and to her the healing of God. Because nothing that I see, nothing that I've touched or that touches me changes the fact that I know God wants everybody healed. And I also know that the final healing is when we are no longer in this body. What did I do? I prayed that she would see God's healing. I prayed that we would see God's healing, and I did. Because I knew where she went. This was not a sad thing when I saw her already gone. This was a good thing. Do you know that God is for you? From a little one, this age right here, these ages, the number one thing that they should be taught is God is on their side. And God is thinking good thoughts about them. Because then they won't have so much trouble as we've had. Come on. They won't have as much trouble as we've had. If you instill in them the one basic, that God says, I know how I think about you. It's good. It's for a future and hope. Amen. All right. Let me read you another one. Isaiah 55:8-9. This is for us that have a hard time believing this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now, this is two things I'm trying to get across here right now. One of them is that his thoughts are higher than ours. And number two, when we pray, many times what we pray are not his thoughts. They're our thoughts. Now, listen to this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, you can take that like, hey, dummy, shut up, I'm thinking for you. That's not what the Scripture means. This Scripture means if you'll trust my thoughts for you, they will be higher. In other words, his goals for us are higher. His blessings, the blessings we want, what he wants for us is higher, greater. All right? You mean in every thought? Well, it's plural here. I didn't see an exception in there. I didn't see, in case I'm busy, hold. And wing it. That isn't the way God works. If we truly believe these two passages I've just read you, which is number one, that he only wants good for us, and two, our thoughts and ways are inferior to his,
yes, right,
that his good for us is much better than ours,
right,
why do we bother to act on our wants and feelings? Wouldn't it be cool if we could get in our head that the first thought we have is inferior to the second thought, which would be God's thoughts? Maybe we'd learn to lock our lips more, at least just for a split second, if we'd learn that my first thought is no good. It's going to get me in trouble, or it's not going to help the person that I want to help. Just give God a split second, let his thoughts come in. Why, if God is for us more than we are for ourselves, why do we bother to listen to us at all? Why do we bother to listen to us at all? You know, I know some people that love to hear themselves talk. The reason I know that is because they never quit. Why do we bother? When, you know, if we practice this, you know what the best time in the world is? Is the quiet time with God. Not the talking time with God. I very, very much disagree. The conversation between two people is exciting. I mean, I'm old enough to have had a lot of conversation and had a lot of conversation thrown at me, and I'm not easily excited about it. But if I can learn to be quiet with God, now I'm excited. I'm telling you, I'm excited when I'm quiet with God. My wife said, did you get up at 4:30 this morning and come back to bed? Yeah. I knew what the question was. She didn't ask me the question. She wanted to know why in the world would I go back to bed at 4:30 in the morning. Because I wanted to think. I knew I wouldn't go back to sleep. I'd get up at 4:30 and try to go back to sleep. But you know what? I can hear it 4:30 in the morning. And laying down is comfortable. So where's the hiccup? I wanted to give God an opportunity to begin to work on my mind before I get up and say, okay, God, now you can work on my mind. That makes sense? Maybe God wanted to be with me for a little while. I want to show you what God says about something. If you turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4. I want you to read this with me. The book of James, chapter 4. This is what was written by inspiration of God Himself through the Holy Spirit. Now, I know a few of you have wars going on inside of you. You know how that happens? Because every time you open your mouth, you can hear the explosions. Ricochets, bullets flying. Come on, don't y'all ever listen to the Spirit? You can. Sometimes when people open their mouths, you can hear the war. You don't hear peace. James chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires? Whoa. Your wars are coming from your desires. We always blame the other people. You notice that? But it says, our wars are coming from my desires. For pleasure, that war in your members, the war's inside of you, it's because you're seeking what you want. You lust and don't have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. That's most charismatic stop right there. So they don't stop talking, they stop reading the Word and start asking for everything in the world. They're not asking for the mind of God. They're not asking for the will of God. They're asking for what they want from their own pleasure. That's what the Scripture says. Watch this next one. You do not receive. Whoa. How many of you have been asking and not receiving? You do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Many people pray to God trying to pick Him out. God, if you'll give me that new so-and-so, I'll use it in the ministry. And God says, yeah, your ministry to you. Now, is God against you being ministered to? No, but He's against lying. Now, did you hear what I said? If you promise Him things that you don't mean, you're a liar and He knows it, and He don't, forget that, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to donate to that ministry, God says. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Now, there's the basis of how do I pray. If this be true, and it is because it's the Bible, then we need to figure out how to pray. Who wants to ask amiss? Remember verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, you do not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Now I'm going to ask you a real personal question. Don't answer me because I might have to answer back. How many of you want to get along with the world? We're taught that every day. We're taught that every way that we need to get along with the world. Make peace. God gives favor, though. I want to walk in authority. I want to walk with favor. But what the Scripture is dealing with here is the reason you're not doing that is because you're asking amiss. If I'm asking for God for me to walk in favor, that would be correct. If this is all about God. If it's all about my personal whatever, then it's wrong.
My Bible says wrong motives.
Wrong motives. That's exactly right. Asking amiss. That's the same thing. Wrong motives. It's not that we use the wrong verbiage. That's another thing people try to teach in prayer. That if you verbalize it just exactly right, you can have what you ask. So thus comes the written beautiful prayers. I told you that time that Desiree and Jason, we were out on the bayfront at Corpus, and Dad said, I've got the worst headache I've ever had in my life. I can't stand it. And I just said, and they were, whatever that is, that's about how big they were. And I said, Jason, Desiree, go over there and pray for Grandpa. And they just exactly what little kids would do. They went over here. They didn't have time for long prayers. And they didn't say a thing. Now that surprised me. They didn't use one, neither one of them used one word. And instantly the headache went away. See, whether it's a verbalized prayer or a silent prayer, we can still ask amiss. And many times we ask amiss more with words than we do in silence. I don't want to get along with the world. What is the world? Generally what we're taught. Because what we're taught very rarely comes from the mind of God. Do you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Does God have any enemies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of those Christians that want to get along with the world. Well, I mean, if I have guests come over, I need to serve them what they need, what they want, play the music that they want. You know, I had a picture. If I had time to do this, I would have loved to come in this morning. I wanted to do at least one thing, and I didn't do it. I'd like to come in with a cap that's turned crooked or backwards and let you see how stupid that looks on me so that I would know what you look like when you do that. Do you know why sane people wear their caps crooked? Because they're trying to be friends with the world. They want to look like the world. All you look like is something that needs to be in a mental institution. You can't even figure out how to put your own hat on.
Sometimes they put them on and lock them on.
Yeah. I guess, I don't think, hats being locked on or the top of their heads need to turn. I wanted to come in here with 15... The kiddos have these little plastic toys. I want to stick about 15 on each ear and let you see how good that looks. More than that, I can pull my shirt up and put one on my belly button. And then I can stick my tongue out. One's hanging out here. You know what this is? This is the devil's leadership.
Yes, exactly.
To make you look stupid, talk stupid, get infected. All for the whole goal of being friends with the world. You know, with the friends of the world. See, I don't care what the world thinks. I really don't. Why? Because Jesus didn't care. He didn't come to be friends with the world. He came to set the world straight. He didn't wear his hat crooked because it was the in thing to do. He didn't buy shoes with no heels on them. A little pet peeve of mine. They want me to buy shoes with no, with the backs going down like this. Why do I want to pay full price for the not a full shoe. One that I got to scoot my feet to walk, you know. If I want to take off running, the shoe's got to stay. If I'd have had some, I'd like to have brought in some pants that were about 10 sizes too big and way too long. And then as moral as I could be, wear them real low. And I can put a chain down and hang it down here. And they all got to be black, you know. Because my father Satan likes black. He likes darkness rather than light. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. If I want to look like Christ, I'm a friend of Christ. If I want to look like Satan, then I guess I'm not a friend of God. When's the next time you're going to tell somebody what I just said? When's the next time you're going to start standing up for what's right instead of let the world tell you what's right? This is the key. You ask amiss. Sometimes there's no asking at all. Did you know sometimes when we don't ask at all, it's asking amiss? Why wouldn't I ask? If I saw a situation that was wrong, and I didn't say, God, what would you like for me to do about this? I am amiss. In every situation, if my steps are ordered, do you understand? If my steps are ordered, sometimes my brain's catching up. Come on. Come on, if God's leading my feet, sometimes my brain's a little behind. And so my full-time work is, what do I do now, God? Not what do I do now, Stan? Not, Stan, you better pull back from that file you have way back there and use an example that happened 20 years ago. God, what do I do right now? Now I'm not asking amiss. Do we have to be accurate? No, we just have to be fogging a mirror. God's, I was reminded of that time when we were at, I think it was, I don't know, Jason's or Desiree's basketball game. And there was a loudmouth group of punks over here. And this is supposed to be a Christian academy. This is supposed to be a Christian sports league, Christian team playing Christian team. And there's a group of little, you know, stud muffins over here, more muffin than stud, that were yelling out profanities and stupid things. And I thought, nobody's doing anything. Maybe I should go over there and tell them this is a Christian group, you know. You ought to So I scooted up beside this guy, a little kid. He didn't have his hat on, but a little crooked. And I said, you know, guys, this is two Christian teams. Wouldn't be good for one to kill the other. And he smarted off something to me. I don't even know what it was. It was just downright nasty. And as God is my witness, I showed up for a job and nearly blew it. Because I took a swing at him. Then, as my grandfather would say, if I miss you, it'll give you pneumonia. I did. I swung at that kid, and God's hand grabbed my hand. Now, I'm talking about side by side close in bleachers. And I missed the kid. Now, you tell me that's not God. But I caught that stupid hat. And I got tickled at what God was doing when I saw that hat going through the air. I was brought back to reality by God the comedian. He made the hat go through the air, and I'm going, oh yeah, Stan, you can't kill this kid here, in the open anyway. That kid walked straight down to his coach, his teacher, and he started yaying. And the coach is going, you know, down there. Hey, don't prolong things. I got down, walked down, sat down beside the coach. He didn't have a hat on, so he was in trouble. And I said, you got something to say? Say it now. Otherwise, you tell this brat punk kid to shut his mouth. Coach got quiet. Kid got quiet. Went back up there. I went back to sit down beside him. And I said, you know, we're in public. I whispered to him. I said, but as I was coming in, I noticed a dark shrub around the corner. And if you say one more word, I'll catch you outside. I'm going to bury you in that shrub. I didn't hear any more from the kid, and he left early. Now, do you think that was of God? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Listen to me. Yes, I do. I very much think that God is progressive. He's not a fool. That's why he didn't let me hit the kid, because then I'd have been the fool representing him. Did I want to hit the kid? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did I cause some attention? Yes, the basketball team saw it. I don't know if it stopped, but it came close. I don't want to be a friend with the world. It is not, listen to me, it is not God's vote and it is not my vote that people do what they want to do. Jesus taught you that when he went in there and grabbed those tables and he flipped them and he said, you den of snakes and vipers. Was that God?
Yeah.
What about the scripture that says, blessed is the peacemaker? You got it. He made more peace with that one action than anybody else did with all the preaching in the world. L. Lee Gaines, what I call my first pastor, an older gentleman, get the kids on the back seat, and I was one of the kids, and I'd get to making a little too much noise. And he'd just stop and say, Stan, get quiet. Okay. Is that God? Yes. At his funeral, I'll never forget this, they said, one of the older gentlemen that was about the same age as the man that died. He said, I never will forget the first time I saw Reverend L. Lee Gaines, El Paso, Texas, riding a horse coming over the hill with his Bible right here and his six gun right here. That particular statement changed my philosophy about preachers. Ministers of the gospel, no matter who they are. Two-edged sword means exactly that. It can cut. I don't want to do what the world wants me to do because I'm going to tell you something. If God ever takes a swing at me, he won't catch my cap. Verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Another way to say this. Or don't you understand that God is a jealous God? I don't know if you've been around very many jealous people, but they usually let their desires be known. They don't like it when things are not going their way. And my Bible says God is a jealous God. Verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
Now, can I tell you a little stumbling block here? For you to act as a minister of God, you must be humble. But Stan, you just told me that you went and tried to tell those kids what was right and wrong. How can that be humble? Come on. See, humble doesn't mean I'm so stupid I don't have anything to interject. That's not humble. How can we be humble and act like we know something?
Be humble before God.
That's exactly right. Not before man. God never asked you to bow to any man. He asked you to bow to Him. And what happens when you bow to Him? He gives you wisdom and knowledge and understanding and revelation and discernment. Why? Because that's who He is. He hasn't got anything else to give. He'll give you righteousness. He'll give you holiness because that's who He is. Don't be proud about it. I know the difference. I've been around people that are spiritually proud. They'll spend their time telling you, you know how many years I've been a Christian? Well, with that question, I'd say you still need to be. I've served the Lord for 40 years. Well, I give a flip. What are you trying to do to those that have not yet even lived 40 years? What are you trying to do to them? Are you trying to build them up? Or are you trying to put them down? Be humble. You know how you be humble? When you know you're right? Reach back in your past and figure out when you were screwed up and touch that. Make sure you keep in mind that if it weren't for God, there would I be also. Verse 7, therefore submit to God. That's number one. Number two, resist the devil. You know what's going to happen every time you try to submit your life to God? The devil's going to come. So the second thing is resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Is God a liar?
No.
Okay, then that's going to happen. 8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's double-minded? He started off by saying the wars that you have come from inside of you. So what is he speaking about? Double-mindedness here. I want it my way. Thank you, God, for having your way. I'm going to pray, God, but you be quiet. I've got some things to say. God, I've got some thoughts I want to run by you. No, you don't. They're going to miss me because I'm a lot higher. Come on. Number 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Why? Because you're doing it out of a proud spirit. That's what this is about. Why? How do you know that? 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves. That means stop trying to be God and let God be God. If someone comes to you and says, demands, I want you to pray this way, God is cut out. Be cautious when somebody, I didn't say be nasty. I said be cautious if somebody comes to you and says, I want you to agree with me about this and this and this and this and this. No. Not until I first consult the one that's supposed to be listening or supposed to be talking. Am I against your prayer? No. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying give me a minute. I don't sign every contract that comes in front of me. If his thoughts are for our good, we need to study his thoughts, not ours. Right? The Bible recommends that we sit at the master's feet. And that we call those people that bring the thoughts of God to us beautiful feet. Right? Isn't that what it says? So how should I pray? You've been talking all this time. You haven't told me how to pray. All right, let me be simple. The truth will set you, us, everybody free. Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10. In this manner, Jesus said, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've said it when I was teaching that series. I'm going to say it to you right now. If the next time you need an answer, you'll just shut up for a moment and say, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. You have the answer. I don't. I want your kingdom. Do you understand that when we use our minds, God's kingdom will never be established? Come on, don't look at me that funny. When we use our minds to make a decision, God's kingdom will never be established. There's people in here resisting that like crazy. I can't believe that. Don't you understand I know when you agree and disagree? When we use our thought processes, God's kingdom will never come. Luke 22:42. Jesus said, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. So, we'll come from the reverse procedure. More likely where most of us will come from. We won't do number one, we'll take number two. And that is, after we've already spoken, we'll say, never mind, I really do want your kingdom to come. Your will to be done. Is that okay? Evidently it was okay for Jesus, okay for us, right? We're not going to take condemnation when our mouth shoots off a little quick and we have to back up and say, but God, I want your will. That's okay. We'll keep practicing at this thing. Is that all it is? Is that all there is to do? Well, in theory, yes, but in practice, no. There's more to it than that. Well, God's really impressed this on me this week. There are some basics that we are required to know. Listen to me. You're required to know some basics. Do you want to pray amiss or do you want to pray correctly? Okay, then we are required to know some basics. Let me cover the one number one basic that we're required to know. If you were in a prayer class, they'd tell you, first thing in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you that's nonsense. In our English language, that's nonsense. It's not nonsense in the way God wrote it, because that's exactly true. What's the difference? The difference is, my name is Bill, my name is John, my name is Steve. And it means nothing to us. It's just a way to try. Then we develop these techniques to try to remember somebody's name. That's not what God meant when he said, you will do it in Jesus' name. It meant you will do it for and through the character who Jesus is. So my whole goal, the basic goal in prayer, is if Jesus were standing here, is this the way he would pray? Now come on, that's important. You may just think, oh, that's just a point. No, that is the point. It's the only way I should open my mouth in prayer. If God were standing here, how would he pray? God has given us a free will dealing with who we serve. Now listen to me. He's given us a free will to decide who we serve. After that, we no longer have a free will. You lush, plush Americans, if you give your life to God, you are no longer free. If you give your life to Satan, you are no longer free.
That's true.
Second basic, nobody's free. Because the Bible says you will serve God or Satan.
Right.
There's no neutral ground. For you people that are walking in the world and you meet other people that think they're on neutral ground, tell them they deceive themselves. They're either serving Satan or God. There's nothing in between.
Right.
Oh, you're going to make a lot of friends doing that. But it is the truth.
Right.
If you don't have to say it out loud, know it in your brain so that it'll help you know how to pray.
Amen.
Oh, how's that going to help me know? Well, if I know somebody's not saved, and we'll get into some more basics. If Jesus were here, what would he recommend the first thing an unsaved person do?
Get saved.
So now it forms my prayer. You want to hear what irks me the most? People that pray for the most peace. What I want, you're your kids, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives. If they're not saved, pray them into salvation. God, whatever it takes. I don't care what it takes. Do you understand? Jesus died saying, I don't care what it takes to get that person saved. So how, basically, should you pray? Don't pray for their comfort. Now, you don't have to say, get them by the neck and shake them and say, God, kill them if necessary. That's not ministry. That's foolishness. I'll give you an example. Last week at the end of the service, Karen said, I want you to pray for Joey. He bashed his head. I said, good. And everybody thought that just very well tied with the message. Oh, isn't he smooth? That wasn't being smooth at all. Because the rest of that prayer was, God, do whatever it takes to get Joey to do what's right. Why did I pray that way? Because I'm mad at Joey. I'm not mad at Joey. I desire for God's best for Joey. And if it takes a knock on the head, so be it. I don't care what it takes. Because the best thing could happen to Joey and everybody else's name you can think of is to be and do the will of God. So the basic prayer design is that we pray the will of God on somebody and get out of the way. Don't bind things that don't need to be bound. Loose those things that need to be loosed. Bind those things that need to be bound. But if the Spirit of God is moving in pressure on somebody, get out of the way and say, yay, God, go. Yeah. If we choose God, we choose His Word, His will, we will begin to with a love for His commandments. Let me remind you something. God's Ten Commandments didn't go away. They became 1,000. Commandments, not recommendations. One of these days, when we get serious with God, we're going to understand that God is a serious God. He's fun. He's pleasurable. But when He says, I'm going to give you Ten Commandments, He means it. So, the basis of all prayer, the humble judgment that we're given on how to pray, the mind of God that tells us how to pray, will be based on the Word of God. One of the things that I felt like this morning that maybe I did wrong is that all I taught you was, or I've been teaching you, is that God is for us, which is 1,000% true. But the reason I said if you give your heart to God, you're no longer free, is to let you know that knowing God is for you doesn't give you the right to do what you want to do. God's mind is not lost in His will. I have thought processes, Harry. You know what I ought to do as soon as I go home? I ought to run 2 miles. It'd be good for me. That's my mind. My body says, no, 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 no. I tried to tell you that to divide a difference. God's mind, His will, and His Word are all one. Why are you telling me that, Stan? So you'll know that anything He wrote in His Bible is His mind. And you'll not find anything out of that. God is never out of His mind in His Word. It's a strange statement. So what do we know? We know the Ten Commandments. I had a guy that was doing some concrete work for me, and he said, well, I'll go up Sunday and I'll look at the job. And I said, well, good, come on to church. He's a Christian. He didn't go to church, but he's a Christian. I said, come on to church. It's right on your way. You can go up afterwards. Well, yeah, I could do that. Oh, no, I can't. I've got bowling. I said, well, let's see. Bowling or God? Oh, bowling's much more important. I said, how about if I put it that way, Jim? And he got quiet. Come on, I'm not interested in making friends with him. I'm interested in making brother out of him. You shall have no other gods before me. You'll have no images. You'll not have statues. Because I'm a jealous God. You'll not take my name in vain. You'll remember the Sabbath day and you will keep it holy. The rest of that says God works sixth and He rests on the seventh. He intends for you to do the same thing. And He don't mean lay in bed as resting. He means you've got to enter into His rest. And you'll find Him in the same author wrote, forsake not the assembling yourselves together.
Right. Yeah.
Honor your father and your mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Do not commit. Oh, we got to write that one out. That doesn't fit in our economy today. Do not commit adultery. Our television tells us that's a lie. Our senators, our congressmen, everybody that's influential, adultery's okay. Come on. The Bible says if you make friends with that theology, you are an enemy to God. That means you will have nothing to do with that. And you'll say so. You'll not steal. You'll not lie. And you will not covet. That means you won't look across your fence at the driveway and say, I wish I had a car like that. You will look to God and say, thank you for the one I've got. If you don't start with this right here, please don't pray. Just shut up and quit clouding up and fogging up things. What's the two got to do with each other? If you walk up to me and you say, I want you to pray for me, and by the Spirit, I know you're committing adultery, my obligation is to say, then I must pray for that adulterous situation. Because nothing else matters. Well, you don't have to say, are you an adulterer? Unless God tells you to, then do it. It's okay. It's safe. It was God's thought. Can't hurt anybody with God's thoughts. But if he tells you a way to pray, then you're going to pray for the adultery without calling them a harlot. You understand that? God will give you a way to handle things. Don't always look for the politically correct way. Look for God's way. If we understand that God's will is good for us, then God's will is good for us. And because we understand that, we'll never stray from that. Are the Ten Commandments God's will? Are they from his thought processes? Then they are good for us. That coolest thing. I don't know if y'all heard on the news, the coolest thing happened this week. The porn industry was shut down. Did y'all read that? They had to stop filming. Totally. Because AIDS all of a sudden went, and everybody's afraid to. Oh, God's will can't be AIDS. Okay, I can agree with that, but he can use it. And he does, and he did, and I don't care. Listen carefully. I would like for them to all be saved, but for those that don't intend to be saved, I hope they all die. Oh, you can't say that. I just did. You want me to say it again? Because whether they die for eternity, and it starts now, or it starts 2 years from now for eternity, what's the difference? What's the difference? Well, the difference is I don't have to put up with it so long. Get it out of my way. Do you want it in your kid's face? Let them die. If their God is their body, their God will die anyway. One day they'll have to face they're serving the wrong God. God has a plan. It begins and ends with us being different than the world. Okay, why'd you put that in there? Because when we pray, we need to show everybody we're different than the world. How many times have you gone to prayer meeting and heard the same old 6 and 7, 8s? God help the grass grow green. God send the rain. God fertilize my yard. God, so-and-so over here, he's trying to get a job. Help him with a job. And you're going, God is boring. That's what we present. God is boring. Because we just pray. When I was a teenager that time, the pastor's wife stood up and said, I'm so glad that I serve an old-fashioned God. And I'm so thankful he's the same yesterday, today. See, I can quote it because I heard it 100 times. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Is this true? Yes. Does anybody want to hear it? No. When you ask for a testimony, you're asking for what has God done for you in the last little bit. And of course, me, smart aleck, full of pride, stood up and said right after that, I'm so glad that I don't serve an old-fashioned God, and he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he's done some fresh things for me in the last few minutes. And sat down and then wish I hadn't said it. Because my mom and dad made me wish that. I think I had the mind of God, but not totally. I think if I'd have listened a little bit longer, God could have helped me deliver that message. What do you think? Yeah, there's got to be a better way. We need to remember that Jesus was God's best plan for us. And you say you are like Jesus. Is God's mind in us doing a cotton-picking thing? Because God's mind in Jesus did something. I mean, he walked around in full-time ministry. Just as we're to walk around in full-time ministry. Because God is ministering to my mind, and so out comes ministry. I'll say it again. God's ministering to my mind on a full-time basis, so out comes ministry on a full-time basis. You know what comes from that? What comes from that is truth. I could use some real good examples, but I don't want to do that. That's too close. I'll tell you what the mind of God does. It challenges the mind of man. The mind of man will just regurgitate. the mind of God through a Christian will say, "Now wait a minute. What you just said, is that totally true? Do you have the facts? Do you understand what you just said?" Or start presenting things in a different light. That's the mind of God. That's the parables of Jesus Christ. Therefore, to pray correctly, y'all can write these down. Number one, we will pray His will, not ours. Number two, we pray for God's plan, not speak our solution. Parents, especially, let me talk to you for a second. I know you think you know how everything should be, but you don't. Without God, you're dumber than a post.
Yes.
And your kids will show you. They'll cause you to speak your mind instead of the mind of God. Pray for God's plan, not our solution. Number three, we pray for flesh discomfort to bring God's best. How many is the last time any of you prayed for discomfort? For somebody or for yourself? It's time to start doing that. God, if there's something in me that needs to be rendered, then turn up the heat. If somebody walks up and says, "Pray for me," ask God if He's got something He wants rendered in that person, and then touch it by prayer. Go after the bad, because what's left over is the good. It's what God wants. We pray for flesh discomfort to bring out God's best. Number four, we pray that our plans for the future are destroyed and God's plans are restored. If we've been an enemy to God, we need God's plans restored in us and whoever we're praying for. This is not just about us. This is whatever situation we're praying for. All right, Stan, you're still being vague. All right? Then let's start with the numbers over again. Let's get a little specific. Number one, we're going to pray that they get truly saved with a life testimony that cannot have been hidden. I no longer want your comfort. I don't want your testimony. I don't want your friendship. I want you saved. And I want you saved so much that it can't be hidden. I'm going to pray that way. I want to start praying. I want everybody in here to begin to pray that way about yourself and about those around you. I want you saved so much that your testimony and lifestyle, it cannot be hidden. Number two, in everybody in here, including me, I want God to do in you whatever it takes for His plan to be revealed in you. We're going to pray tough. Let's quit praying politically. Let's pray tough. We want God to do what He must do to change the course and the love, the direction and the love. Because God's a jealous God, right? If you have a love for anything but Him, He's already jealous. Let's don't both make Him mad. It's all right for Him to be mad at you. I'll pray for you. Number three, that our kingdom falls and His arises. I pray that your kingdom falls and God's arises. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that everything you love falls to the ground until God is the only thing you love. Tough. But what if you trust God, you can't find a better prayer than this. Four, the Ten Commandments become a lifestyle in you, not something remembered once in a while. They're God's commandments. Let's stop calling them the Ten Commandments. God's commandments in you become a lifestyle, not something sometimes remembered. I don't take the name of the Lord in vain. I'm not worried about adultery. We need to start until those feelings are real in us. We can pray for us and others. Number five, and we're getting close. God's word be the path that I seek and that I follow. I want God's word to be the path that you seek and you follow. That's generic. Oh, no. Mm-mm. If you get somebody seeking the word of God, it's going to change their path. I promise you. Number six, the best one of all. Old things pass away and all things become new. I want in you, I pray for you, I pray for me, that old things pass away and all things become new. I'm telling you, if you can incorporate this in your prayer, it'll change you and those around you. Number seven, that God's good is expected, not calamity. You know the hardest person in the world to pray for? One that's expecting bad. Come on. If they expect bad, They're not expecting God.
Right.
So I want God to change you so that you'll expect good from Him all the time. And not one time are you expecting calamity. Number 8, I pray for you the strength to stand for God are good and it be revealed. 2 parts of that. Listen to me again. I pray that God's word, His love, His plan, His mind work on you. And you, 3 parts. Second, you have a desire to stand for good. And third, that it be revealed to all of those around. That's a huge prayer because it puts you so much on the spot. But if you're not going to stand for anything, lay down, be the carpet, and let me walk on you, but get out of the way. What we need in this world is somebody to stand up. My president this last week said, I want you to know we're going to finish the course. This is right, and we're going to do it, and we're going to finish it. Now, I hate to brag on him, but he is a Texan, which already makes him a little closer to heaven, so he's got better revelation. But I love it. You do too. You love it when a man stands up for right.
Amen.
Even the old dirty, rotten sinner will say, there goes a good man. The drunk will slur, there goes a good man. Because that's what the world is looking for. So you're seeking for the mind of God, the good of God. You'll stand up for it, and it'll be revealed to everybody. Amen. Number 9. I pray that you'll become an enemy to the wrong. You'll be a redneck to wrong, that you become an enemy to wrong, and that you become a standard for right, that nobody's going to have to guess how you feel about your wife and your children. Nobody's going to have to guess how you feel about God. Nobody's going to have to guess about how you feel about how you wear your hat. I have no qualms of telling you how I feel, because God has no qualms about telling you how He feels. We need to be as open as He is. Then we become enemies to wrong and standards for right. Number 10, the final one, that we never settle. We never compromise. We never give in to pressure. That we set the standards and we do not follow the standards. You understand what I mean? Standards of the world are enmity to God. What God says for the moment is the standard. We never settle. They took a hostage in Iraq. Government said, we do not negotiate with the enemy. The parents say, that's a terrible theology. The relatives say, that's a terrible theology. But somebody in our government says it's a right theology and we're going to do it. Let God honor right theology. No matter what it costs, the right theology has to be ours. Don't ever settle. Don't ever negotiate for what's right and wrong. That's a huge statement. But it's part of the Ten Commandments. It's part of the commandment of God. God said, God went this far. He said, I'm not a man. I cannot lie. And if I lie, I will kill myself.
Right.
Are you that firm in the truth? Well, you must be to be a Christian because it says that you must die daily. That's the part that's dying. The lie in you is trying to die by the presence of God. Let it die. Help it. Strangle it. Let God live. Jesus is our example. He never wavered in trying to please the Father.
Right.
He did not negotiate to make peace or to keep a friend.
Right.
He did not negotiate. He did not waver to make peace or keep a friend.
That's right.
Why can't we understand this, guys? If it comes between, I've got to please this man or I've got to please God, man, you're not even on the radar screen. I can do without a friend, but I cannot do without God.
That's right.
Please, let's get that in our spirit. I can do without peace, but I cannot do without God. I can do without money, but I can't do without God. What's your hope today? Where is your hope? Is it in your ability to work, think, speak, or is it in God? Jesus knew that the only way to please the Father was to do good. And the only way to get to good was to please the Father. Are we that smart? Then you don't have the mind of God because God says you are. He didn't say, you're just brilliant. He says, you're brilliant in me. Or do you still have the mind of the world? You still wear your hat crooked? You still wear white socks with sandals? I'm trying to say something to get your attention. See, there are fashion faux pas, but they're nothing compared to spiritual faux pas.
Yeah. Sorry.
Nothing. We need to know what God's fashion is for this moment. But He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, He is. But if you think His methods always stay the same, you are mistaken. He's exciting. His methods are new and fresh every morning. Scripture again? New and fresh every morning. I had a picture here. I started to tell you a while ago. I had a picture a while ago of a parking space. Trying to think of something that would show the difference between operating in my mind and God's mind. Parking space. It's uncovered. It's narrow. Have a hard time getting in and out. God drives up. He says, give me your parking space. I want your parking space. You're saying, oh, when I got, I'm going to have to park on the street. God says, I said, give me your parking space. Finally, you say, okay. God pulls into your parking space, and instantly, it becomes a four-stall bay covered with a garage door. And now you get a better parking space, and He gets His. That's the way this thing really works. But first, you got to give up, because your flesh don't want to give. Do you know that? Your flesh doesn't want to give anything. Well, my flesh wants to give trouble a lot. But I'm telling you, that's about all I have to give. And it takes everything within me to give anything away because I have a strong flesh. God walks up to me and says, give me your parking space. I argue for a little bit. Why don't you admit you do that? But say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah.
Just let that be the final statement no matter what. Now what God's waiting for is for a whole bunch of Jesuses. Not wise guys. Not people that are good at setting people straight. Not the biggest voice, the loudest voice, but somebody that's strong. I always said God loves hardheads because once He gets them in His way, He can't change their mind. That's what He's looking for. He can use a quiet one. He can use a loud one. He can use a big and small one. Doesn't make any difference. He's not looking for the package. What He's looking for is a heart. A heart that will give Him the parking space with no guarantee of anything else. Except by the word of God. That means your trust is in Him. She asked, what does baby dedication mean? It means just what I described. It means you're giving your baby away with no contract. You're giving him to God. And you don't care what God does, but you're going to do your dead level best to point him or her all the days of their lives to God. And you're going to do it the right way. You're not going to do it with a hatchet saying, if you do that, God will chop your foot off. You're going to do it with Jeremiah 20, line 11. I know the thoughts God has for you. They're good. They're good. God's plan for you is good. And I'm not going to be afraid of a little pain. What if Jesus would have yelled from the cross, I thought this was supposed to be good, like most of us do. Salvation would not have been ushered in. God is good. All the time and all the time, God is good. No matter what's going on. No matter whether I feel it, smell it, or touch it, God is good. And if I'm under a little pressure, God is good. If you hear me pray for you with a little pressure, God is good. You know what? We call Him the Supreme Commander. We call Him the Lord. We call Him the Father. And yet when He barks an order, we're offended. So He's not truly yet. We have not made Him truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When He becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we will not be offended when He barks an order. But the rest of that explanation is because we know it's good. Don't teach people that God is big and mean. It's not true. He's big and He's mean, but He's not mean to those that love Him. I'll remind you one more time the thing that Jason told me, my son told me. That time he didn't do the marijuana 1,000 miles away because he just knew I was going to bust the door in and get him. He said, I've seen you do it before, and you'll do it again. I know He will. I can't touch this marijuana. You know why? As God speaks to me this moment, the reason is because I acted like God. Are you listening to me? I want God to bust your door down the minute you try something wrong. I want Him to use His big old foot and kick it in and say, you better be afraid of me. You know why? Because then you'll have confidence that he'll bust it down when you need him the most. When you need to be held or protected or healed, he'll be there. Don't ask him just to be there in the good. Ask him to be there when you're bad. Then you'd have to mention that once in a while, wouldn't you? Chuck, I don't know when he left the message. I think it was day before yesterday. I think. Friday? Saturday. Friday. Yeah, it's Friday because I remember that your guys were rolling up off of one job at about 3 in the afternoon and you were already telling them they got to go to another one. Anyway, he called me on my phone. He left a message, said, "Your steps are ordered and so are mine." I had to listen to it twice before I even knew who it was. Because, I mean, it was a fast message and my mind was going somewhere else. What was that and who was that? So I called him back and I said, "Was that message for you or me?" He said, "Both." He had the mind of God on that. It was a bad day for me. I was having a rough day. You don't even know how rough. And God put it in his mind, call him up and tell him his steps are ordered. See, this is ministry. That's ministry. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? God is good. I'm glad that I've been given the opportunity to serve him and that by teaching of the church and my parents and by the unction of the Holy Spirit, I chose to follow him. Never one day in my life, have I ever regretted serving the Lord. Amen. Not one day in my life. Amen. Not in the worst time and not in the best have I ever regretted. Because God sunk into my heart that he's for me. And this is real. And you're not going to convince me. How many of you would like to volunteer to convince me God is not real? Send all your friends. Send your enemies. I can promise you the outcome will be I will win, they will lose. Because I'm the one with the truth. And the truth will set me and them free.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
It's a standard. Pray the truth. Pray the mind of God and everybody will be set free.
Amen.
Y'all stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Nothing? Can I tell you something? Nothing is more important to me than the truth. Nothing. I'll give you a cell phone. Call my son. See if he agrees with me. See if the biggest confrontation we ever had was over truth. I want to know the truth. I don't want to know your version of the truth. I don't want to know your suspicions. I don't want to know your fears. I don't even want to know your wishes. Just tell me the truth. What's the truth? God is good. He's faithful. I can depend on him. Do you have anything you can depend on? Here's the coolest part of all, guys, gals. Here's the coolest part of all. When I have his mind, I'm always right. Come on, all of you like to say that. Here's an opportunity you can say that. When I have his mind, I'm always right. Only time you can ever say that and get by with it. Praise your Lord. All hearts clear? All hearts clear? Father, then we enter into this prayer. Into your mind. Let everybody in this place be saved. Saved from their own thought processes. Saved from their own will, their own desires, and saved to yours. And for those that resist, including myself, do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes into that good thing you have for us. That safe position, that correct position, that healing position, that being healed position, that abundant position, and that being offered to other people through my abundance, in the Spirit, in wisdom, in all of those things that are of God. Teach us to be bold in our prayers, bold in our testimonies, bold in our lifestyle. Teach us most of all, Lord, to treat others the way we want to be treated. And that means if I know that I need a whipping, it's okay, give it to me. That I'm big enough to take what I dish out. We yield ourselves to you now, Lord. Save, sanctify, fill, and heal. Be to us what we need, not what we want. And for these things, we'll give you praise and honor and glory forever and forever and forever. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.